Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
In 2010, the Deepwater Horizon oil spill was the biggest environmental disaster ever to hit the Gulf of Mexico. For nearly 3 months, the spill spewed more than 4 million barrels of oil into the Gulf and shattered records, including one set by a 1979 spill that lasted 9 months. That was called the Ixtoc spill, and it spread oil across the Mexican coastline and parts of Texas. A team of U.S. and Mexican researchers are revisiting Ixtoc today. They want to find out how and if the environment near the spill has recovered, which will give them a glimpse of how the area near Deepwater Horizon might look in the future. Reporter David Levin has our story.
We're aboard the Justo Sierra, a Mexican research ship parked in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. In the galley, music plays constantly. It feels festive. But at a small table, an international team of scientists are huddling, making serious plans.
Where are we right now?
That's a good question. Within a few miles of the actual Ixtoc wellhead that blew out 40 years ago.
Travis Washburn is part of a team of scientists combing the southern Gulf of Mexico. They want to measure the aftermath of the 1979 Ixtoc 1 oil spill. Together with their Mexican colleagues, they're on a sort of forensics mission, taking samples of mud on the ocean floor near the spill site. They'll use what they gathered to find out how well the ecosystem recovered in the last four decades, or if it recovered. And what they learn might help them predict how the area affected by Deepwater Horizon will look 40 years in the future. But when it comes to oil spills, there's always a few complications lurking just under the surface. To understand how these scientists even ended up on this ship, we've got to back up and head to the other side of the Gulf, to an office overlooking Tampa Bay, to talk to this guy.
Hey, David, how's it going?
Steve Morawski.
Professor at the University of South Florida College of Marine Science.
He's one of the scientists in charge of the U.S.-Mexico collaboration. And he says the big issue with studying Ixtoc is that nobody's really sure where all that oil went. In 1979, there was no way to map the spill, so millions of barrels went unaccounted for.
I haven't seen any comprehensive maps that were drawn in the day. The only real maps of Ixtoc were cartoons that people had drawn from, you know, some notions of where the oil was.
Without a data-driven map, knowing where to find traces of the spill would be impossible. There's really not much information on Ixtoc. By contrast, Deepwater Horizon was measured by multiple satellites, dozens of ships and aircraft, every hour of every day, giving real-time detail on where oil was going.
Deepwater Horizon was an absolutely unique event in terms of the amount and diversity of resources that were available to actually do this tracking. You know, people wanted not only to see the imagery at the wellhead, but they also wanted to know where it was so that people could make up their own minds about the risk of oil coming ashore in different places. The notion that we can wait for these maps or that, you know, we can get by with bits and pieces really is not going to fly in this sort of wired world that we live in these days.
In the 70s, though, that level of detail wasn't even a possibility.
No. No way.
Xuan Min Hu is an optical oceanographer at USF. He uses satellites to study modern oil spills. He says the advantage is that a single satellite image lets him survey the entire Gulf of Mexico in one shot.
Think about if you want to do that with an aircraft, it would take days or even months to have one complete view of the Gulf, not to mention a boat. It takes years for a boat.
Back in 1979, though, a handful of planes and boats were pretty much all first responders had to work with. So they did the best they could, and once the well was plugged, the spill was mostly forgotten. But what cleanup crews didn't know was that a few hundred miles overhead, two early satellite instruments were busy clicking away. The first was the Landsat multispectral scanner, basically a sort of digital camera in orbit. The second was the Coastal Marine Color Scanner, or CZCS.
At that time, satellites were just launched. You know, very few people knew how to use it. And also, there were much fewer satellites. And the technology used on board is also not as good as today's, you know, to put in the best way.
To put it another way, the satellites were less powerful than an old Nintendo game. And because of their orbits, they didn't fly over the Gulf of Mexico that often. CZCS took measurements of the Gulf just once every 4 days.
For the other sensor, every 16 days you have a measurement.
And that didn't mean the measurements were even usable.
Exactly, exactly. There's no guarantee you have cloud-free data. And on average, in the Gulf of Mexico, the odds of having cloud-free measurement is 1/3. So basically, if you have 3 images a day, then you may have a cloud-free measurement.
But even with these limitations, who thought the old data might still come in handy? If he and his team could use it to piece together images of the Gulf from 40 years ago, they might be able to make a basic map of where oil traveled during Ixtoc, one that could help Steve Murawski's team figure out which areas to study first. So Hu and his students revisited the old satellite files. They're actually not that hard to get. Just visit the NASA website.
So everybody, not just from this country, you know, from around the world, has access to that data. So that's public domain. How you process the data, that's the challenging part.
It means turning raw data from the satellites into an image, then figuring out which region of the Gulf it's actually showing. And then you've got to figure out if there's any oil in the water, which isn't always obvious.
So the first thing is to look at contrast on the ocean surface. So any outstanding features, you know, that's a suspicious feature.
Who says you can tell at a glance if the image just shows clouds or stuff floating on the surface? But you can't easily tell if the material on the water is algae, oil, or something else. To do that, you have to analyze the subtle colors of light being reflected and absorbed.
Those well-designed sensors measure the different colors reflected from oil, from non-oil, and from other things in the ocean. And they each have different, you know, color shade measured by the sensor. So oil has a different shade than others, although your eyes can barely tell the difference.
So Hu's grad student, Xiaoji Sun, started poring over all the data. He figured out, slowly, which measurements showed oil instead of clean seawater. And over the course of a few months, he squeezed out enough information to make this, a map.
So I have a map of the Gulf of Mexico. In the lower left, the brownish color maps an Ixtoc oil spill.
On his computer screen, Sun points to a swirling brown streak near the Mexican coastline. It represents where oil traveled over 9 months in 1979. In other words, it's the first map ever to be made of the Ixtoc spill, nearly 4 decades after the well was plugged.
It's really exciting to map out a 40-year-old oil spill, but other scientists can use my map and my work to do their own science.
Scientists like Steve Murawski. He sees the work as a gold mine.
We looked at the map that we got from the satellite imagery as a treasure map. It's incredibly valuable from the scientific point of view. And that treasure map has basically told us where to look for concentrations of oil, both on the bottom and also ashore in the shoreward areas.
Murawski says that by dusting off old data, Xiaoji Sun and Xuanmin Hu have created something entirely new, a tool that lets scientists revisit the past. It's made possible the work that Murawski and his team are doing on Ixtoc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the new map that we have gives us not only a mosaic of what happened over 9 months, you know, so we can see the full footprint, but it also gives us some time slices of how that oil spill evolved over time.
Back aboard the Justo Sierra, scientists are using Sun and Hu's map to plan out where to take samples along the Mexican coast. They're pulling bits of mud from the seafloor, collecting worms and other creatures living there, and they're analyzing the water surrounding them, all based on the guidance they're getting from 40-year-old satellites. What they find now will help them understand the impact of Deepwater Horizon 4 decades in the future and tell whether the next generation of Gulf residents will still be feeling its effects.